Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new.
Woo.
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyoncé.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes. Let's love.
Gino, I have more than one IRA. Jasmine, sign the prenup so you can prove your love.
I am Jasmine. You are wind and devil and God, Gino. If you die, what will happen to me? If you die, write out a will, Gino, do it. It makes me want to tear my heart in two.
What do you want me to do?
Gino.
Oh, it's actually interesting that you start with that way. By the way, this is Reality Gaze. If you're like, what the hell was I just listening to?
Wouldn't it be some type of Sondheim? You are not worthy of my love, though.
Yes.
Yeah. So
we're unworthy of your love from assassins. On in our Ask Us Anything or Q and Gay episode that we just did, that'll air next week, because we are Maddie and I are on vacation starting July 2nd, and we'll be back on July 9th. There will be no episode that week, B90 episode, because we are away. So, I know, we take off 2 weeks out of the year, and trust me, we hear about it.
Don't worry,
anyway,
come over to us.
Perfect.
We'll recap it.
But one of the questions was, what does Poodle think about assassins? And I talked about it, where I think assassins is one of the strangest concept shows, and I think I've never seen a production where I've been happy with it, but I think it's a director's show. And I have a feeling I could direct it really, really well. So it's more about me than anything else.
I second that emotion. I think you'd be brilliant.
I've loved it for a long time. If you don't know Assassins, it's a musical about people who've tried to kill U.S. presidents and some who have succeeded.
Yes, and Unworthy of Your Love, which we were just parodying there. Is a duet sung by John Hinckley, who killed John Lennon.
Yes.
And Squeaky Frome, who was a member, she's still alive, longer a member of the Manson family. And they're not singing it to each other. They're singing it to the person.
To the victims.
No, not true. This is what happens when you speak out of turn.
You know, I took a shot there, like, it was a guess, and I figured if I got it right, I'd get, like, cool music theater points.
And you get cool music theater points because you sing it beautifully.
Oh, thank
and one you, day we'll
And you know
do
what?
It.
I think you, I was really impressed that you knew that number, Robin.
Well, Michelle does make me accompany her.
Make is
not the word.
if you're just joining us, if you didn't listen to our previous episode, I'm here with Robin and Michelle.
Hello.
From Blight et Fiancé, and they're my guests filling in for Maddie, who's getting cut up like a ham as we speak.
Oh, we love you, Maddie.
Has he?
Yes.
These are big shoes to fill, and we would never presume.
Is it going to have to be the same sort of procedure that what's-her-name on toe was putting off? Do you remember having that she'd have to wear the scaffolding for 18
months? Oh, Chris.
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I haven't thought about her since the tell-all aired. And I wish her the best in whatever pill-addled hovel she's living in at the point. But y'all, we're talking B90. Mm. We're talking season 6, episode 5, Suspect, which is apparently a movie with Cher and Dennis Quaid, which none of us had seen. I need to rectify that.
I know.
I thought we would jump right in because just to change a sorbet, if you will, and get an amuse-bouche, as they just said on Below Deck Sailing Yacht. The gays who were on said, "Oh, I love an amuse-bouche," and he's like, "You like to be amused in your bouche?" And I went, "That's a Paul Lynde joke."
Are we behind on Sailing Deck?
Do we
get it later?
No, we just have. They started dropping two Sailing episodes. Deck?
It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal.
Yeah. Okay. We can't get through it fast enough.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's almost like the networks conspired to actually burn us out before we take a vacation.
But you know, thank God there's not another 90-day strand starting up in like a week.
Thank God. Yeah, thank God there's not another starting up right after and UK.
And UK.
That's right.
Yeah, it's fine.
Tell us, you guys do 90 Day, I know, but you also do 90 Day UK.
Yes, yes we do.
It's where we started. We figured we probably should. I mean, not to some extent, due to your wonderful, gorgeous mentorship. We doff our beefy hats to you.
Oh, thank you, of course. You're so welcome.
You were very encouraging. You were
Michelle,
like, hey, you should do that, and we did.
Michelle, you weren't technically a 90 Day fiancé. But you were out to nail a sugar daddy.
Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I specified, and I literally made a vision board with my y'all. It will not surprise you that one of the many jobs that I have had in my life and rapidly discarded, as many women with ADHD and autism do, particularly in a combined diagnosis, is yoga teacher. And when I was doing yoga teacher training, I put on my vision board that I wanted a 40-something divorced Jewish dad.
Ding. Wow.
Seriously. Yep.
Ding. Manifested it.
I manifested it.
I mean, there's a lot of us around.
Oh, I love a weekend dad.
However, you really should have put a wheelchair on there and an oxygen tank because then you can knock off 4 of them in a lifetime, mm-hmm, if you're lucky.
Yeah, that would have been, you know what, Jake, if I was 10 years younger, that absolutely would have been my plan. But my ex-boyfriend, who was a medical student, really stole the best years of my sugar baby life. So I have him to blame for that. Dumped me the minute he graduated medical school. So
you stole the best years of sugar babying I had.
He did.
Now that is a t-shirt.
My ex-husband, who was a medical student, stole my sugar baby years. Now, and when someone says a sugar baby, I'm like, no, I'm just a vinegar baby. I'm just mad and I just spit acid at you.
Yeah, my sugar's fermented. I'm now a...
Yes.
Yeah, moonshine balsamic baby.
I want to talk about, and because this person and this couple has kind of divided the 90-day sphere. The couple I'm speaking of is their couple name, which I've deemed them Riolet. Riley and Violet. Riolet. I have called this man a sex tourist, and here's why I say these things. And people have pushed back. I still push forward, and I say this man chose a Vietnamese dating site specifically for that. It is sex tourism is usually has to do with certain countries. Usually Asian countries, sometimes South American countries, but where laws about the sex trade are less regulated. Vietnam, Thailand, Laos, all of these places, and a lot of times men who have predilections for these for certain types of Asian women, they use their own money and power to leverage against these women. And so people saying, well, she's kind of fighting back. She's got her own. She's 40-something. I'm like, it doesn't change the power dynamic.
Exactly.
So I still think this guy is gross.
Yep. And as I would say, maybe there are exceptions. But as we say in this country, not all stupid people are conservative. But
yeah.
No, sorry. Not. What is this? Not all
conservatives are racist, but all racists are conservative.
But replace racist with stupid.
Fine. There you go.
British Conservative Party.
Yes.
So we're not
very different.
Very different. Very different.
He's in a bathtub and really, really butthurt that she made plans, even though she's a math teacher, and it looks like she has to go on some kind of trip with
she
kids.
She said a mission with her school.
Yeah.
It might have been language then.
And so later on, he's FaceTiming with his friend Tiffany. He's like, well, she's gorgeous, but can you believe she made plans for tonight and I'm not the center of her world? What's going on? This is not how it was.
So I want to know before, like, if she lived in the States or here in the UK, I mean, bless you, poor darling Americans. You, like, on average get, like, 2 weeks vacation a year, right?
At most.
Unbelievable. Like, no one in this country could even get their head around that. Like, it's 20 day kind of minimum here.
Yeah.
We work ourselves to death in this country.
It's astonishing. And it's one of the reasons why I've always been reluctant to move to the States. I'm like, I can't do that.
Oh, Robin, there are so many reasons not to move.
So
no social safety net.
Yeah. But at least you do get 10 days. Right?
Yeah.
I have no idea how it works there. Do you get any paid leave there? I don't know. I don't know what her job is. Now, if she does get paid leave, then she probably should have taken that time off. But we have no idea.
I think she does enjoy putting him in his place. And I think that's a kind of a kink game they play. It's that whole idea of whoever touches each other first is the boss. And I was like, hate you both. You're 14 years old.
We love each other by flipping each other off.
But how quickly did he drop that the minute he realized that he had feelings for her?
Yep,
quick. It was all an act. That's what I hate. He's constantly, I don't like Riley at all. I don't have any time for him. I have given him as wide a berth as I feel he is entitled to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not afraid to say it. I also push back on, I can't hear those words without thinking about that James McAvoy monologue.
Not this again. We really,
y'all.
We got waylaid on our last podcast by the James McAvoy. Then
I sent that to Michelle because someone sent it to me, and I was like, Michelle needs to see this James McAvoy monologue from Cyrano. And I said I needed to go into an interior room and watch it several times and just go.
Yeah. And you told me, make sure you're alone, dot, dot, dot. I mean it. And I did. And I'm glad I was.
You were like a Nazarene man, finally, finally bursting forth after 46 years.
Y'all.
There are not enough tissues you can have by the bed, by the way, to mix the storylines.
Our flood insurance premiums went way up.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way, just from watching.
Yeah, it was, everything was wet in the house. Yeah, it was, but I need to say, you can find it on the National Theater. It was, I think it was like a TikTok that the National Theater made.
You can also find it on, it's also
your hard drive forever.
It's also on my hard drive forever. I've made several copies. It's about, if you Google James McAvoy Cyrano, and it's like a 10-minute clip all
hot
in all.
Hot panty dropper.
The hot stuff starts at about 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, 4 minutes, 30. It's like a time code. 00:04:4:17
Yes. 17. So the opposite of that is Riley. Look, I think that if you insist on the other person being fully honest and vulnerable and transparent,
yeah,
you have to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And he, of course, can't express vulnerability, which is, you know, not an uncommon thing in American men, in heterosexual men in general, mm-hmm. in men in general. I don't yeah. hold that against him. What I hold against him is that it comes out, his vulnerability comes out in the same way as Amanda's, where he just puts all the responsibility on the other person
yep.
to make him feel better, to give him a boost, to gas him up. It's like that is her job. And if she's not doing that, then she's hiding something. There's something wrong.
And this woman is not going to do that. We know immediately. We called her the Samantha of her friends when she met all of her friends. And she's like, guess what, everybody? I have a beau. And they were all just like, oh, Samantha, you're just so ribald.
And then she went back and went, and he gave me pearls. Can you believe it? I mean, seriously? Pearls are not rare in this country.
That's incredible.
They were hideous.
They were unpleasant pearls, right?
I think this man has had women who have said, Riley's feelings are the most important feelings in the world. And Riley has believed that my feelings and how I feel about things, people really need to regulate that because I'm respected, damn it. Mm-hmm. People yeah. love me.
I and, smoke cigars.
Oh, I went off on that. I said that he decided he was a cigar smoker at the computer to be on the show. I said, what's a weird thing people do? I'm going to start smoking cigars. Anyway, but so y'all, he's basically saying, when do I get to see the daughter that I bought gifts for? When do I get to see what my money did?
Yeah.
That, and y'all, that sex tourism, that's the entitlement of a sex tourist. And we're seeing that on full display. Just because this guy isn't completely abusive, do I think he's like as bad as Pred? By no means. Mm-mm. But this guy is antagonistic, and he's not going to be okay with them having a parody of Means. He's not going to be okay with it.
Well, the way he jettisons her so quickly when yeah. they have that his readiness to drop her, to doubt her, to cast her aside, to not put any faith in her.
Mm-hmm.
Just shows the degree to which that power is essential to him.
Yeah.
And if he loses that, like, he will talk about, oh, I love her, I love her, I love her so much, we're going to be mad. But he is so ready to stop at any moment.
Because if he actually gets in too deep and too vulnerable, it will destroy him because his feelings are so fragile. It's just, oh.
But also, as a tourist, he'll just find someone else.
100%.
Right, it's interchangeable. Someone else. It doesn't matter.
Definitely got a backup.
Well,
girl.
That's the hilarity. This whole storyline is, what other men has she got on the go? Come on, guy.
We called on Love in Paradise this week when S. Scott took Liz, his new Columbia girlfriend, and we did Sloppy Seconds Tour and Travel. If you don't have a girl to go with you, we'll furnish one. And I think you're exactly right. I think there is someone else. And we will see how that works out. So he's quite worried after all this that after the what we call maybe less enthusiasm over the pearls, that he's really wants to give her what he calls a commitment ring. Y'all, this is a promise ring. You know what we say about promise rings. These are for Christian girls who do anal. And he's like, but she has to earn it. And that's when I went, I have no sympathy for you. Don't talk like this.
So gross.
That was so gross.
So creepy. Gross.
I mean, I think a commitment band is worse than a promise ring and worse than a ring on a string.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy. So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies,
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, Queens!
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it worse than the key to my house that Tom gave Darcy?
Now that's a tough one. I mean,
who else did that recently? Someone did that.
No, Razvan Amanda the house. Yeah. But that was that's different.
That was an actual key, not something not that Tom bought in a curio cabinet or at like a Precious Moments catalog.
Yeah, I reckon Tom has a door that actually takes like a key to the city kind of key. That was weird with Razvan, though. I'm like, in what world is she going to be going to this house when you're not
no,
there?
I think it's a hospitality thing. I thought it was a nice gesture. I thought things. It was a make you feel at home.
And she went, what is this? So the next day, y'all, everything's gone. She's like, Violet says, I've changed my plans. If there's one thing about Violet, though, that does give me pause, things seem to happen and change quickly, or her whims kind of change, mm-hmm. which I'm all for this woman turning this man out.
Yeah,
I'm all fine for it. So we're going to the Independence Palace of the President, where we're going to see tanks and military warfare.
Tanks for the memories.
Yes.
She was all about those tanks.
She loved her tanks, right? She really liked tanks.
And
we were talking before about like in the other episode about you know, showing people around your city. Now I know what to do. I know what to do. You just take them to the Tang Museum.
In right? Vietnam, yeah. The presidential, you get to see where the people came through, and these tanks ran down these people, and this flag was here. He, however, cannot think about the tanks. He's just worried that how do I know you're going to commit to me? How do I know you're going to make more time? And he keeps saying things like, I just don't think you really prepared for me being here. By the way, this is day two.
Yeah.
He's hitting her with this. Day two, he's bellyaching and trying to shame her.
Mm. For having a job.
It's too much. And also, he's a former military man.
Right? Yes.
He should be into the tanks.
No, I'm not. I don't. It's not that he should be into the tanks. I just figured, you know, there's significance to the end of the war in Vietnam, being that it didn't go good for
Didn't go good for nobody. Didn't go good for the U.S.
Arguably, didn't go good for anybody. But you'd think that there would be like that, even just for the presentation.
The pathos of it.
Yes, that he would show some reverence. Like, no. I'm not a military person, but I can't go to the Vietnam War Memorial, which is one tourist attraction I don't mind taking people to because I think mm-hmm. there's nothing else like it.
It takes your breath away when you see how many names there are.
Yeah.
We live in Washington, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I sob every time I go there.
Yeah.
It's bizarre to me that he wouldn't even for a moment go like, oh, wow.
Do you think she took him there to humiliate him?
I
genuinely
think she actually,
is that a power play?
I think she took him there to show him something. She knew he's former military. Yeah. I think she said, this is a big thing with my country. I'm trying to share this with you.
Yes.
And it's something you might like. However, he only says, your country is so humid. I got a bad knee.
Was there any element where she was like, you're on my turf now, and it doesn't go good for you people Was there any element of that?
That's so cynical. I think she was trying to find...
But there are power play. That's what they're all about. I honestly do wonder if it was an attempt to get the upper hand.
I do think that she is not that into him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And...
I agree.
But I also... The thought of spending every second with someone in that, especially in that situation, would be very upsetting to me.
He's extremely negative. He is extremely negative and always testing her commitment and, in a way, fealty to him.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, it feels gross every time. I'm just thinking, you didn't do this. I want you to tell me how much you prepared for me. Mm-hmm. And it feels gross. For me, this is a couple you throw on the burn pile. Like, I don't want to see him anymore. I'd be fine if like something happened during production, they stopped airing it. I don't want to. It's gross.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You've spoken before. In fact, the two of you respectively in your own ways have both spoken about how other cultures have different attitudes towards marriage. And, you know, and particularly, you know, in parts of Asia, the idea is, you know, as it was perhaps more in the West a little, you know, some time ago, where these things can be a financial arrangement.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of okay. So, you know, I think she, the idea of her having to prove herself to him is not what this is about. This is about him proving to her that he can give her a secure and stable life, right? It's not the other way around. That's not what this test is. And he's completely flunking the test
That's a really good point. It is what I call the Hazel effect. I've called it that before with Tariq and Hazel, where the Venn diagram of is she in love with him or can this be a good life for my son are interlapping circles or overlapping circles.
Right. And they don't
one doesn't matter about the
other. Exactly the same place. A little intersection is fine. But fundamentally, you know, it's an arrangement. Right?
I
mean, the best case scenario for her is that she and her family don't have to suffer in any way and that he doesn't go bang, da, da, bang, da, da, while listening to jazz all the time. Right? That is the best case scenario.
I agree. If he listened to jazz and did that the whole time, that would be grounds for divorce for me.
Right.
Imagine if he just... And imagine if it's not like... Because he strikes me as not like a Chet Baker jazz kind of guy. He's going to put on Miles Davis Bitches Brew. Like, unlistenable unless you're really... into that niche jazz.
Misogyny jazz.
Heroin jazz.
Uh-huh. Only misogyny jazz. Only things about bad, only names that women who've done them wrong.
But yes. And I also think that Violet is in a unique position because I believe that she's not struggling economically in the same way that, say, Sheila is.
Oh, definitely.
Or that other, you know, she...
Or Christine from
right,
UK.
Exactly. That's right. She's educated. She's a professional. She may not be, you know, at the top tier.
She's Samantha. Come on.
Vietnamese.
That's true. She's her group's Samantha.
Right. Right. So she doesn't need him for that. But there is still the cultural burden that's placed on her of she's a divorced woman in her 40s with children and is unlikely. So, like, I get why she would be looking
for an arrangement.
Prospects.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's I think that she is actually, I think she has the luxury of being able to choose a love marriage or mm-hmm. Finding a partnership.
And I will also say, it is not at all unreasonable to be looking at several houses before you exchange mm-hmm. contracts
right.
on
exactly.
the house that you buy. I don't actually have a huge problem with that.
I personally love going to open houses when I'm not even looking to buy a house. I mean, that's just me. We just talked about Sheila a little bit. Let's talk about David and Sheila. Again, this couple is the heart of this season for me. I kind of love Sheila, and I love Sheila's heart that mm-hmm. I see. And every time she's on screen, I think she's authentic. Mm-hmm. And if Matt Sharp does this to me, where she's just trying to get his money, I don't believe it. But remember, Sheila's a dick pig, y'all. She's like us. Sheila's like, it was big and red. And
it was like an episode of Sesame Street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Red penis.
His penis is brought to you by the color red and number 10?
10 inches.
Number 8.
10. So y'all, we of course are doing the Love After Lockup patented deaf effect of the cameras. I think we could only have this one more time. I'm kind of over it. And
what was really weird on this episode, there was a scene where they're riding in a cab.
Mm-hmm.
It was silent when they were showing like GVs, general views of the cab driving down the street. It was silent, right? And then it cut to the interior and the sound came on. And I'm like,
yeah,
that is the wrong way round. If you're going to do, just on the production level, if you're going to do that, it should
Robin giving us the inside baseball.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah. You know, TV guy.
Yes.
Like, this is the sound outside the cab, but inside the cab, it's silent. Don't do it the other way around. That was weird.
Agree. We're both like, wait, that was weird.
It was.
That was observation one of weird tiny things in this episode. Observation number two, and for the life of me, I don't even remember what storyline it was in. Did you see those two one-eyed cats?
Yes!
What was that?
There were two one-eyed cats.
And they both lost
the same eye that they were missing.
They wasn't lost their left eye.
Wasn't that in Romania? Was that in Romania?
I think it was in Romania.
Yeah.
It was a weird episode for little bits like that.
Those are two witches' cats.
I agree with you completely about Sheila. She is the rare. She reminds me of Katie from 90 Day Fiancé UK in that she is the rare person who is without guile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's just.
And she had a fire, and their roof is gone.
And a typhoon. I mean, how do you...
And she's still happy. And she's just... And she can't wait to bone the deaf guy.
Right? I don't know what it's like. It's not going to be that different. I mean, the only thing is...
Well, Jake,
let me tell you...
Because you're the expert in this area.
It is a little bit different when they flip their hearing aids off and you're flying blind, as it were. Because then it just is like, well, who knows what could happen? They couldn't hear me if I was screaming. We're getting into a weird area.
Does it give you the reassurance that you can say anything? You can shout out any name
that's
that
true.
You choose?
Any dirty talk. It's like
anything you want to say. The most depraved things you can think of.
Unless you're doing it in front of a mirror.
I will say, that's true.
Read. He doesn't.
I will say, I have had sex with two different deaf men. One I've told the story about, but the other, both the two different ones, we didn't have never had sex with the other one, but the two different ones were quite good at what they did. And that there was
they say when you lose a sense, the others compensate, right?
I think that's a good hypothesis. I'm going to say this. Fuck a deaf person. Do it.
I have never met a straight deaf man.
You know what I said this.
Well, you're not suggesting there's a connection.
To a deaf guy I was dating one time. And I said, I meet lots of deaf gay guys. He's like, it's just because you don't know a lot of deaf people. I'm like, it's like they just happen to be gay. And I was like, okay, I just know a lot of deaf gay guys. Sorry.
No, I guess, I mean, to be fair, one of the theater programs that I grew up with in was a theater company for deaf and hard of hearing, by deaf and hard of hearing.
Yeah.
So I guess not many of those guys would have been straight to begin with.
Yeah, Michelle, maybe our sample was off.
Yeah, we might have had a very limited sample size for that. I'll tell you what was difficult for me. I felt bad for him because that no-tell motel was awful, and I will make no apologies about that. That was bleak.
What was that on the floor?
I don't want to know. I don't want to think about it.
A bug of some type.
But was it a bug? Was it poop?
I'm not sure. The hotel was very ugly and run down. It was gross.
I felt for him because I could tell how important it was for him to want to, like, for it to be romantic. And
I think the thing about it is, I think he realized halfway through that she's here for him.
Right.
And he didn't even, first of all, I was a little grossed out by the fact he didn't take a shower.
That's a long flight,
y'all.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't romantic. No. You need, if you're going to bone, you need to shower after, you need to do that. Yeah.
You need to demust that ball sack.
Yeah.
You need to air it out.
It is quite leathery at that point. Shiny, as it were.
It's going to be and redder.
She also, exactly, it's going to be even redder, like his penis. So she's like, David eats very loud, but maybe he can't hear himself. And I love her. She is wonderful. She is going down in my good category of cast members, which is a very small category.
They're the only ones to root for. It's not enough. I increasingly, as I watch more and more seasons of more and more shows like this, I'm kind of like, I would like the ratio to be at least a third.
Oh, you're dreaming. You're dreaming.
But I'll take just one. But this collection is kind of shocking that there is just one to root for. And I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm pretty scared.
B90 tends to be that way. Because they're all the long shots.
Yeah.
But there's also the stakes are the highest in B90, which I like. Anyway, y'all, they need to be protected. He just says, she feels so good in my arms, and they bone like they're on the Titanic and it's going down.
I love that she had her never nude shorts on, her little cut off denim shorts to wear to bed.
Wow. They bone like their capsule is imploding. Too soon?
I was going to make a joke earlier in the last episode about Carmella having been on the submersible and just was out of communication.
That's the only conceivable reason.
That's the only
possible.
That's what Tyrae says. The only thing that could happen is she was in the submersible.
Must have been.
But that's, yeah, I thought better
and
of it.
It sailed so close to Bakersfield.
You can do it on our show. No one gives a fuck. Actually, they know I'm going to say something like it. I spent so many times sharing memes, and I'm going to have to describe one. Y'all, I'm a terrible person.
Yeah.
But the one that that I saw, I think I sent this one to you, Michelle, was just the orcas banging pots and pans, and it just went, bang, 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 send more billionaires. It's nice down here. Bang, bang, bang. Sorry, everybody. I had to say it.
You ever seen that website where you can scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll, and it tells you all the different fish that live? We were looking at it the other day with Alfie, not his real name, right?
Yeah.
Not his real name.
Yeah. There's more than orcas down there. There's
someone's made an incredible. It's just one webpage where you scroll down, and it shows you all the different creatures that are at every depth of the ocean. And
they've got weird names, some of these guys. They're cool. Some of them are cool. You know what? Like the craziness of the deep.
Oh, I loved identifying fish and things like that.
And you keep going. There's one bit where you're just scrolling and it's just black. There ain't nothing down there. And then like Caesar's there or something.
There's like a weird fish. It's like
there's like the
it's got like things
deal.
Coming out of its head.
Some of them got really like mean names.
The ugly flat tooth fish.
A divorced squirrel. Yeah.
Wow. Moving on to Christian and Cleo.
Oh, y'all. Can I say one more thing about
yes,
David?
Yes, please. Because, sorry, so sorry.
No need to apologize. I want to know if any other ladies out there thought when Sheila was describing David sounding like a pig when he ate, whether they thought about whether he had any talent in a certain area with a certain act. And I like to believe that I'm an excellent lip reader, if you will. David knows what he's doing.
Ooh. Good to know.
It's sloppy, but he knows what he's doing. You're going to have to change the sheets and you might have to give him a little guidance, but
it's a little trough like. It's a little like, yeah, sometimes things get out of there. You're going to have to change the sheets. You
know
what?
You're
going to
be picking things out of your hair. Yeah.
And then you just do like I do. You get a dog blanket, an old dog blanket. I highly recommend an incontinent dog blanket for all your going downtown needs.
I'm just saying, any man who works two jobs understands putting in a shift.
Okay. Yes, sir.
That's a good sign, right? That's a good sign.
Speaking of putting in a shift, Christian definitely is a server, y'all, right? Like Christian definitely works at a restaurant.
Yeah.
We have heard
Can I tell you about the craft beer of the day.
Our last meme with those hipster bartenders / barbers / we had that we talked about that guy, and one of our listeners says, she's like, don't use my name. But I fucked that guy, the hot one, for like 9 months. And she's like, and he sometimes brought me cake from the restaurant. I was like, girl. And she's like, it was good. And you should have seen his body.
Wow.
So,
is this pony? It has to be ponytail.
This
not,
is man bun. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not talking about handlebar mustache. Yeah.
Not handlebar mustache. Right, yeah. Okay. But the other guy. She
Could
gave
you be
him
more
10 out of 10
than having two friends, one of whom has a handlebar mustache and the other one who has a man bun. It's
no.
unbelievable. He is genuine. There was a point in this episode when he's in the airport and he's wearing his leather jacket, his beanie hat. He actually looks like Aaron Paul's character from BoJack Horseman. It's like he looks like a cartoon of a parody of a parody.
I feel like all this guy's cool points are going to go into smoke as soon as he sees Cleo and gets in the same room with Cleo.
Two words.
Two
words. Caleb and Alina.
Yep. It's a very different situation. He's already been compared to Caleb in some ways. It's a very different situation, but being in the same room with someone is very different than talking online in a thing. And it's going to be even worse because he is with a trans person, and it's going to be he has no experience dealing with the community. He's going to have it. That's the thing. I think we've played that down. He's like, no, it's just the person. But I'm in love with the person. If you don't have experience dealing with, I wonder if he even has people in the LGBT community as friends, because he didn't seem like he did.
I'm afraid to say, I'm sure he's made a point of getting friends in the community.
Yeah.
He strikes me as a collector, and I think that's what he's doing. Like I felt that Caleb, when he was like, you know, hoping to be with Alina before she turned out to be a Nazi.
The littlest clans member.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it was the look how great I am that I'm doing this thing. And I'm afraid I feel some of that. And like it's the opposite of being great if you're doing it kind of for the points, and I kind of feel like he's doing it for the points, or not for the social points, not for anyone else, but the points for himself. So
yeah.
He can feel that he is the hippest of all hipsters.
I don't know. It's so hard to read. I don't think he is a collector because the friend who looks like if John Goodman was a Russian nesting doll is sort of...
I know exactly who you're talking about. Right? Tom.
Yes, Tom. Yeah. He's,
some guys should not wear what we call vests, I guess. Do you
tank tops.
Tank,
yeah.
Tops. Tank tops.
There's another phrase, isn't there, which isn't as pleasant. Some guys should just not wear those.
Tom is, I think it's fair to say, punching way above his weight, which makes me think that...
Oh, yes.
And the fact that they've dated the same women, not at the same time, that's still giving me the impression that they went to the same high school and have had the same, and they were the, do you know who they are? They were the guys that gave shoulder rubs in drama club.
Oh, we've talked, yes. I've talked about this before. They're in tech theater. They
yep.
run the light board.
Yeah.
They like, oh, it's enough to give you a shoulder rub. I don't need one. And it's like, and sometimes they'll just be breathing hard. They're always run the light board. Yeah.
There's no way they didn't have long hair.
Yes.
Probably, I want to say, a non-denominational cross.
Ooh, that's a good point.
And a white long sleeve t-shirt under a black mm-hmm. t-shirt.
Yeah, but they're like, I don't have long hair because I'm into Slayer. I'm into Dream Theater. It's those guys. Yeah. Yeah.
I do see this guy. By the way, he is from, we said Edina last week. No, it's, we've been corrected. It is Edina. And it is apparently a place where a lot of rich people are from and rich kids.
It's not a Virginia. So,
Edina in Minnesota. And it's not Minneapolis. And a lot of Twin Cities people are like, this place is awful. It's rich assholes. So we're like, okay. So they already hate the guy.
He had going for him, I thought, is he's from Minneapolis. So he's like kind of Prince adjacent.
But no, he's not. He's privileged.
Oh, fine.
And I think he also has that thing. And, the guys who do, you've done a podcast with them. I don't know why I can't think of their names. The guys that do another Below Deck podcast,
yeah.
they're called
yeah.
something else.
Pat
now.
And Bad TV.
Yes, Bad TV. Pat identified that straight men, fashion wise, tend to stay frozen in the era
when
in
they get
which
laid.
They, yeah, in yeah. his words, I think he says pulled the most ass or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, that's very Pat.
Yeah. And I think I think that maybe because when you said rich, I was like, but they dress like garbage.
No, mm-hmm. this.
But that's what it is. It's mm-hmm. they're stuck
yes, money.
In that time
comes
period.
From money.
Yeah.
I also think the family's very conservative, probably because like Patrick Christian. So you're going over to see the lady, right? I've seen pictures of her. She's very pretty, handsome, maybe. And I have a feeling the family is not very understanding.
There was one bit of nuance, not in his defense, but there was one tiny bit of nuance, which is, and again, it wasn't explored, but I think someone in the family was talking more about the difficulties he would face if he mm-hmm. was with her. And actually, there's some validity in that. There's some...
He didn't say friends of the family you choose, that part?
No, yeah. not
no,
that.
No, he's talking about like...
when
it used to be that parents of... Well, I don't need to gay-splain this to you. It's the idea, you know, that if...
gay-splain!
If you have a homosexual child, that you would feel bad as your first feeling because you're
not
scared of what the world is going to
yeah,
do to
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Not because you think less of your child or anything like that, but just because they're going to have a harder
right.
life than if they were, you know, heterosexual. Go figure.
Right.
And there's some truth in it. hopefully increasingly less as time goes on. But there is some truth in that, that he's going to come in for a lot of shit. And I got a slight feeling that some members of his family had said, you're entering, this is a harder relationship than another relationship might be. And he had chosen to take that in very, well, you're not supporting me.
Yeah.
It's worth going back and watching it, because there was a little hint in that that maybe, maybe his family aren't being out and out negative.
But he did say there was vitriol, which makes me think that there's some, and I don't know who they're talking about, but the fact that there's that many kids in the family.
And he lives with his brother, and he says we have a very close family, which would regard that's going to be hard to break out of. But meanwhile, Cleo is getting her kitties into the Airbnb. Abra Coney. All I could think of was it Coney? All I could think of was Coney 2012. Which I insisted was on Jonathan Fernandez's computer.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Coverage of season 6.
Oh my God.
Remember Coney 2012, y'all? Maddie had no clue. I'm like, how were you not alive during Coney 2012?
That's like that not guy... knowing who Harambe was.
The gorilla.
While we're talking about historical
Harambe.
While we're talking historical artifacts, did you see the poster that the Vote Kennedy poster?
Yes, I found that too hipster for words.
Now, two things. One, Michelle's mum used to have that very same poster in her office.
Wow.
But two, I'm thinking you would have been as incensed by something as I was, and I'm praying it's the case, because I know that we're fellow grammar Nazis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice
for Kennedy?
Well, did you notice that the apostrophe in 60s was between the zero and the S, as if something belonged to the number 60, as opposed to the fact that the 19 had been replaced by the apostrophe?
No, it's at the beginning.
It should be at the beginning. It should be apostrophe 60S. It wasn't. It was 60 apostrophe S. And I thought
Poodle's gonna
throw something through his TV when he sees this.
Well, you see,
Kennedy
Kennedy
got what he deserved for that punctuation error.
You know, Reality Gaze is taking a stand. Kennedy, sorry, John Kennedy. But what was interesting here is usually you see 60s with an S without the apostrophe, but to say 60s, it's in the 60s. No, you would.
No.
If there's an apostrophe at all, it is at the beginning.
At the beginning.
Unless it means people in their 60s.
Yes.
Even then, you don't need it. The S
I would have never noticed that. I think I'm filled with foreboding and dread this entire time, because my biggest fear is he's going to get to the airport and Cleo's going to meet him, and immediately it's going to feel like some type of updated version of The Crying Game, which I don't want, and I don't want that as part of the community. No. But I'm really worried. I'm like, that is the pit in my stomach that I have every single time.
I feel like it's in Minority Report. Like, it's already happening.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll be great. I worry about this guy having no experience with even having trans friends or knowing anyone trans before, or dating anyone trans before.
The thing is, like I say, we've seen this before with Caleb and Alina, and he had the same thing, right? It didn't turn him on, right? It just didn't turn him on. That simple. He thought maybe it would, and it didn't. And that was really bad for people that go through what she goes through.
Right.
However,
but then she put on her white sheet and shimmied out the door, and it was fine.
But it must have sucked if you are a little person to have seen that. Yeah, that must have sucked bad for you to watch that, right? But the thing about the trans thing is, it is really, really loaded right now.
I know
that is not what that community needs right now. Nope.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because especially in this country, it's not what we need to see modeled. And
someone
I'm hoping that they can, even if that the ick does happen, I'm hoping we can frame it in a way where Cleo can say, I'm taking this back. If that does happen, Cleo's saying, I know I'll find love because someone will love me as I am.
She shouldn't have to.
I am hoping.
She shouldn't have to.
I'm hoping against hope that her Northern Italianness, snobbery, confidence, and snobbery will override any sense of rejection. But it does. I suppose I should say, when they, she's so vulnerable being both trans and
autistic.
And when they did the sort of equivalent to what they do when they try to edit to show you what it's like to be deaf, and they sort of shook the camera and made the hearing supersonic. I
looked like a Beats commercial.
By the way, that was Leicester Square, and it's like that for everyone.
That's a poor example.
I need headphones everywhere.
I don't think it's representative of, at least not my experience. I'm very sensitive to crowding. I'm very sensitive to noise. So like when they piped in the sound of the baby crying, that was really difficult for me. I hate things like
babies.
That. But if I were,
Michelle hates babies. That's just it.
Hate them. I get an abortion every single day on purpose,
whether I need one or not.
what I would say is maybe a more accurate / relatable version of that is to explain. I mean, first of all, it's different for everyone, but. Meltdowns can happen over very minor things. You don't need to be in a crowd. I thought that it was enough of a demonstration for her to walk into the cafe and say, "Oh, sorry, I just need 10 minutes."
I love that moment. I felt so seen in that moment. When she started asking all the crew their signs, because they have the fixation for that time was astrology, and that was like working with my students, and because you never know, sometimes when we would be putting on shows, sometimes you touched one of the students would touch the other, and they would have a moment and kind of lose patience, and they would kind of have a flip out, and you're like, okay, and we get a call saying so and so's not in the show anymore. I'm like, okay, we're gonna move on. That wasn't what we needed to do, And but yeah, you're exactly. It doesn't need to be a crowd. It doesn't need to be anything. It just can just be a little short circuit.
Yeah, exactly. And and again, to it's so much healthier to demonstrate it by having her show up and go, oh, I was really overwhelmed, so I need to take a beat. I need some quiet time. That's and great. I thought the astrology is really interesting. And I know that there are a lot of people in the wider 90-day community who cast a fair share of aspersions. But what I will say as someone who is both into astrology and autistic is that try and think of astrology as a language rather than a set, you know, map for life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's easier.
She says herself, right?
Yeah. No, I say that.
No, but she said that. Yeah, sure. You said that. But she also said that in the previous episode. She was saying it's just a way of understanding things. It's not a prediction of the future.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But it's also very important for an autistic person to develop understanding of other people. And astrology is a shorthand for just initiating a conversation.
Right.
You know, so I think that people need to be a little less resistant to it because I've never met, there was a guy on MAFS, Married at First Sight Australia, who was like, I can't be with a star sign chick. That's on the definite no list.
Yeah, it's immediate.
Definite ick. No.
Yeah, it's on my ick list. He was so foul. Ugh. But yeah, just, you know, understand that for some people that's just a shorthand for starting a conversation about personality types and preferences.
I don't have high hopes for this. It doesn't feel good to me. I think I'd feel better if I knew this guy had experience with dating trans people before, or at least had been part of in the community a little bit more. Or he was preparing, or we actually saw him like talking with members of the LGBT community or talking with a trans person before. How do I talk to this? If we saw that, I'd feel better. But we're not seeing that yet.
I think that there's even, you know, he wouldn't even have to pressure someone into emotional labor.
No,
for that.
You wouldn't.
You know what I mean? Like you can call a charity and there will be someone delighted to answer those kinds of questions.
Totally.
And there's so many resources. Also, he looks like, one, he dyes his hair, which is awful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's too dark. You always, for men, you have to go a shade lighter. Sorry, you just do. You have to go a shade lighter than what you think it's going to be.
And it emphasizes that hair.
It emphasizes the receding. He looks like if Jason Sudeikis and Christian Slater like tried to make a clone of the two of them and only the bad features came out. So he's
that's accurate. Cause I think he's your typical server, cool guy who you'd give an extra tip because he kind of chatted you up.
Yeah.
He told you a story about the chicory.
Yes, yeah. In the coffee.
And he flirts with your grandma.
Exactly.
And
look, he's fine. What I will say is, look, again, I am not in any of these communities. It is not my place necessarily to speak for.
Yes.
But I'm not sure that...
Still yet. Holding out for bisexual.
Sure. I can tease. I'm not sure that kissing a guy in college is relevant.
It's not.
Right. Thank you for that clarification.
It's not.
Did you kiss a guy in college?
That's immaterial.
Hot. I will just say this. It's not, especially if you're drinking, it's not the same thing. And the thing about it is, he said he kissed a guy in college, and that proved he was extremely heterosexual.
Right.
That was a real red flag, y'all.
That assertion was pretty unpleasant, wasn't it? It's like, I'm so straight. But also, like, she's a woman, not a guy. So I don't see how kissing a guy is preparing you for this, unless you're seeing her as a man. And if you're as a man, we have a problem.
All of the comparables feel off to me, and that's why this storyline is very foreboding for me.
Yeah.
There's just something about it that gives me a bad feeling. And I don't know. It's the opposite of David and Sheila for me. And it's kind of it's not as near as funny as Gino and Jasmine.
Glad we're here.
I know. I said the whole thing. Hola, can you give me a light beer, please?
Hola.
Hello, comely barmaid. Can you give me some life advice?
Do you remember when we first met Gino? And he went to a coffee shop and he spoke to the girl behind the counter, and she had the tracking device on him, and he got in a load of shit just for talking to that girl.
Evidence
report.
Evidence report.
With the little emoji.
Gino was standing his ground. He's like, I'm going to talk to women in the service industry.
We really believe that what's happened here is he was around his family the whole year, and he thinks he looks like a fool. So he is trying not to look like a fool on television.
Sure.
He is failing as usual.
He's not looking like a fool in the same way he's not shaking.
No. Right. No, in those terrible sandals. And later on, y'all, so we're still talking about the Pernerp. And the bartendress he's talking about the Pernerp to the bartendress. And she's like, in our culture, it's very rare to do that. So you would need to understand. And later on, Jasmine is at her dinner with her sister, who looks 17.
She looks 14.
She
looks 12. But we can keep betting each other lower.
it makes me, I don't know why, going out to dinner with your 14-year-old sister and telling her all of your relationship problems just feels weird to me.
Yeah, you're weeping into your martini. She's there dunking a cookie into her milk.
I feel abandoned. He was my protector.
Talk about daddy issues.
Oh, yeah.
Man. I wish... Here's the plea that I make to any... woman, man, non-binary person, if a prenup is put in front of you, please understand that that document is as much for your protection as it is for the
lawyers will tell you that
handing it to you.
Jasmine needs a prenup.
She needs it.
She needs it. Just like she needs a will. Just like she needs life insurance.
What will happen to me?
I think what she's...
When you die in a year's time.
He's eating a lot of frozen meatloaf. That's all I'm saying.
A lot of banquet hungry man dinners.
Yes. I think 10 years more would be optimistic if he carries on like that.
He would eat more vegetables, but he doesn't have the equipment.
He doesn't have the equipment.
He doesn't have the proper equipment. I need a cutting board with the proper... equipment.
I think she is confusing a will with a life insurance policy.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, even if without any other paperwork, I'm thinking as his wife, she probably doesn't need a will. Unless he already has a will, which gives everything to his creepy uncle.
I don't think Gino has a will. I can't imagine a man like Gino. I think he's too afraid of death. I think Gino is an extremely anxious person. And I just love the direct quote that she's talking to him later on. She's like, let's say you die. And it's the way she says, let's say you die. I'll be all alone in the U.S. with your terrible family who hates me.
I had forward flashbacks to what the next season is going to be. And I don't think I can do it, Poodle. I don't think I can watch that family.
Yes,
I can't wait.
Yes, you can.
It's
going to be wonderful. I'm going to tell you this now. The season will not be them interacting with his family because she's going to demand he move to Florida.
Yeah,
I don't think she will ever go to Michigan. I don't think she will ever go to Michigan. She's going to make another demand that he goes to Florida.
I think she, I couldn't agree with you more. She's gonna be like Pow in that yep. regard. She's not cut out for Canton, Michigan.
No.
And that's nothing against Michigan or Michiganders. I just don't think that's an environment that Jasmine will seamlessly assimilate to. I think there would be a lot of so many cultural differences. But another interesting point that Robin and I were discussing is I don't know whether Michigan is a no-fault divorce state or not.
Good point.
But like, again, you need that PERNERP if mm-hmm. Michigan is a no-fault divorce state. Because listen, I don't think they're making it to the finish line together. I don't think this is till death do us part.
No.
But I do think...
Possibly early death.
Sure.
But not dotage death.
No. Not
they're not going to be rocking in chairs wearing cardigans.
The Titanic. Not that kind of thing. Not the Notebook.
He's going to get pecked to death by local birds.
That would be so funny.
I agree. I think this is definitely a Dateline. This is going to end with a Dateline episode of her. Of her just in the middle of the night. He says something, and she doesn't know her own strength at one point. And a knitting needle goes awry, and that's it.
But does Gino? But then you have to ask yourself, Jake. Does Gino light up a room when he walks into it?
He was a man who lit up a room every time he entered it. You're right. Isn't a good enough person to be a Dateline episode.
But this is why I'm a bitch, because I will never get murdered. I've not lit up a single room I've ever walked into, and it's darkened them.
You definitely darkened them.
I destroy the vibe by walking in. But no, I think that all this talk, if we're taking the conversation about his savings on its face, you should not marry someone unless you're willing to share your whole life with them.
100%.
And that means everything that you've earned up to that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's different if you're like David Beckham and you're not...
Is he?
Although that's a bad example.
It's a really bad example.
They met
He talks like this. If you've ever heard David Beckham talk, it would make you go completely... make you go inside yourself.
Do you want to hear some tea? About what? David Beckham. Okay, so
I've got better tea about David Beckham, but I cannot broadcast.
All right, I can broadcast.
Tease.
I just can't say how I know this, but a very reliable source told me that the members and for UK purposes, alleged, because
so you don't get sued for libel.
Want to get sued for libel? Yes, allegedly. All of the staff members at their main family residence,
Beckingham Palace,
be male. The reason for that is that he was caught. There were a team of window washers, and when you think of window washers in this country. You think of, you know, tradies, gentlemen, mm-hmm. chimney sweeps, if you like, you know, in their coveralls. Mm-hmm. There happened to be a very comely female window washer.
Tradess.
Yes. Who he scooped off the balcony and
did things to a squeegee.
Made passionate love to.
Oh.
And was caught out by by the missus.
Is it just me that finds that quite hot?
I think it's so hot.
I find his speaking voice so repellent, though. Yeah. So because I remember one time I
used to get used to it.
I heard him. I never heard it what he talked like, and you'd think he's like you would think it's low because he's so rugged, and then you hear it and you're like. You're like, what is that? The sound that comes out of you?
Yeah, he's the British equivalent of Mike Tyson.
Yeah, It is true.
Yeah.
Anything more? I think there wasn't a ton about Gino and Jasmine more than this, but she does apologize that I'm sorry I hurt you. Money ruins everything. I'm not going to attack you. And she goes, stop shaking.
For me, the moment I doubled over laughing was she was like, well, I was going to agree to sign it, so thank God I shut the fuck up and let him talk first.
Lesson learned, that is, Jasmine.
That was her Kaiser Soze moment, right? Scream. That's the minute the masks.
I adore her.
I love her.
I would watch her season on The Single Life.
Sure.
She is extremely intelligent. She is crushing on social media. Yeah. She's trolling everyone.
I'm sure
and
she's doing
just,
great business on OnlyFans.
Oh, she'll do an OnlyFans. She'll do an OnlyFans. Anyway, I'll still never forget Gino. Let's say you die.
Please.
Anyway, y'all, thank you so much for joining me, Michelle and Robin. Thank you so much for joining me, Michelle and Robin, Pablai, Dave, Beyonce. Y'all, tell us where you can find you.
Well, first and foremost, prayers again for Maddie. It's been an honor and a privilege to stand in. Thank you for having
us.
Jake. Okay.
Okay.
So we're sorry.
No, it's fine. You can find us at Blighty Day. That's BLIGHTY.
DAY.
DAY. On all of the platforms. Blighty Day Fiance is our podcast. We have a Patreon if you're interested, where I do a podcast with my friend and colleague Elliot, who is something of an aristocrat, a reluctant to admit aristocrat.
Very well connected.
Very well connected politically and socially, shall we say. So we talk about the royal family.
Would you call him a toff? What is a toff?
Is
toff?
He is the ultimate toff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Would you call him a toff?
Yes, he is.
The 19th century didn't happen.
he's
not just not in the 20th century. He's still in the 18th.
No, he's still he is an Edwardian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oof.
And so
it's remarkable. You know, have you ever met someone that not only have you never seen them in a pair of jeans, you cannot imagine them.
Yes,
in a pair of jeans.
There are several people. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's like that. But yes, so. Hop on to that if you want to hear us do that. We also have a regular feature called Make Robin Watch This, working title. We've done Selling Sunset. We've done Vanderpump. We're about to do Plathville.
Toddlers and Tiaras.
Oh, I think that would make him very uncomfortable. Child beauty pageants are not mainstream in this country.
Here,
it's
a weird American thing. It's very American.
I'll
it's
probably
sick.
Say things that will upset people. But the idea is for me to to watch the
Whereas
kind of
I'm
reality
just
TV I don't.
My lip gloss on and go off.
So there's that. And of course we do
come at us if you remember Mackenzie, everyone.
Goddess. Goddess. Iconic.
Sorry. Mackenzie is the Nora Desmond of Toddlers.
She is. She was 70 years old when she was 4. Sorry. I had to do that. Sorry. We're punchy now. But y'all, go find them. They have a really funny show. Great Patreon. Reality Gaze will be off for a week. We go off. Because I'm going to be in Colombia. Maddie's getting his stitches removed or whatever he's doing. And I'll keep if you're on a Stacey Squad, we'll probably post something in our Facebook, or not our Facebook group, on our Instagram or something, saying how he's doing. So anyway. But I'll be in Colombia looking up the bar where Isabel went with her gay friends, because I'm trying to write some of the trip off. I sent an Instagram DM to her, so if she can meet me there. So we'll see.
Fun.
We'll see. Anyway, thank you guys so much for joining.
Hey, it is always our pleasure. Thank you for inviting us and having us.
Of course. We'll see you guys soon. Enjoy your 4th of July or whatever you celebrate if you're not in America.
Well, we ain't celebrating that shit over here.
No,
exactly. Because you lost.
We just...
what did we lose?
That's a good point. Nothing.
We just repeatedly play Jonathan Groff's solos from Hamilton. That's what we do on July 4th here.
Y'all, happy holidays. We'll see you soon.